Good morning. I think I've got some things fairly well set up here. So hope everybody's warm. Hope everybody has water. No frozen pipes. Hope everybody's warm and staying inside and is safe this morning. Pretty bad out there today. My phone says we got 17 inches of snow, and it must have blown around because I measured. There's almost 7 inches at least out there in the backyard, but of course it's blown to where it's twice that much in drifts and things, so it has blown around. So hope you're at home today. Hope you're, warm in a good spot, and stay there for a while. So always nicer to meet in person, but at least we do what we can. So we'll have just a brief message today, and then you can all get on with your hot soup lunch probably today. So we'll let a few more join if they want, but just want to talk a little bit about today. If you got prayer requests, send them in, let me know, and I'll add them to a couple of praises to start with. A praise to start with. Randy did get some news and wonderful news on his test this week, so we praise God for that it was completely different than what they thought, and we owe that to God, and so we praise God for that. And then the other thing we want to remember, Pam, Sappingfield Pam and Tom and their family, and as you know, I sent out a note about Janet, Pam's mother, passing away, and the funeral is going to be on Thursday in Terre Haute at DeBon Funeral Home. A visitation from 11 to 1. So keep them in your prayers this week. And again, we're thankful that she knew the Lord and where she was going, but it's still difficult. So we pray that you'll keep Pam and her family and Tom in your prayers, and as they go through this. So, but otherwise, hope everybody's safe. I did just want to start today with, you know, had a good week. My Bears, I got my Bears coffee. Didn't pan out so well, but the IU come out pretty well. So, Indian Hoosiers, NCAA champions in football. So, talking about a movie, but they said, the movie people said, well, it's going to have to wait because right now the movie can't be done because reality's a bigger deal than what the movie could make it, because we've lived through the reality of the championship game. So, and that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. You know, it's a team working together, a team praising God, and a team giving glory to God, and it shows what character can do for a team. And God uses life that's right in front of us to teach us lessons and to for things for us to learn from. It's everyday life that brings out what he's telling us in the Bible. And I do want to talk about character a little bit today. And as we saw that in the IU team, and I'm not talking about the character, you know, everybody always, you know, a lot of times on Facebook, you ask a question and everybody's got all kinds of things they put out there. You know, character. I'm not talking about the character that's on your keyboard. You know, it's not an and sign. It's not that kind of a character. It's not the character that a person's playing in a movie or something like that. It's not that type of character. But the dictionary defines our character as our mental and moral qualities of an individual. That's the character I want to talk about today. And sometimes we get it confused with reputation. I know at church camp with the kids, we always talked about this. You know, there's character and then there's reputation. And sometimes those get confused. And, you know, reputation's a label others put on us, declaring who to be who they think we are as a person. They define who we are with a reputation. And it also may be a label we apply to ourselves because it's how we want to be known. And even at that, it may be just an act that we put on in front of others to be seen in that manner, to have that reputation. You know, a reputation can be good. A reputation can be bad. A reputation can be true, and a reputation can be false. So a reputation, we want a good reputation. The Bible says we want a good reputation. But I think the Bible talks more clearly on character. And character is actually the individual qualities of the real, genuine person. It's who they really are. It's who that person truly is when no one's around. You're not pretending to be somebody else for your reputation. The character is who you really are. When no one's around, you're that person, but yet you hold the same values when regardless of who's around you. That's your character. That's who you really are. You're not pretending to be something you're not. You're genuine. You're true. And that's what character is. And I want to read Romans 5, 1 through 5. Let's start with a prayer, though. Father, we ask you to be with us this morning, Lord. Though we're not together, Lord, we're using some technology you've given us to get together and to be with one accord today, Lord. We ask you to bless the reading of your word, and we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to those who are listening that wherever they are. And we just praise you and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to read Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 as our first reading. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So character is a position of standing, and those standing in grace through faith have been justified by Christ. And it's a position of character where those times around us doesn't affect that, whether it's good times or bad times. You know, we can be strong in the grace we've received, but also in the sufferings, because as he said, we gain perseverance, which adds to our character, which he says produces a greater hope. You know, it all pushes us more towards God. It increases our character, and God uses all things in our life. He sanctifies us throughout the rest of our life. He continually is building our character and aligning our character to be more into his likeness. That's what sanctification is, being made holy, being made more into the likeness of God and the likeness of Christ. And he talks about character a lot, and we see how important character is for God in leadership. And he sets out what's expected of those desiring to be pastors and elders and deacons and or whatever your church may call them, trustees and things. But he lines out in 1 Timothy those qualities that he's looking for. And I want to read that section this morning. 1 Timothy, it's chapter 3, and it's the first 13 verses. So it's 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 13. It says, here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. And if anyone does not know how to manage his family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may be conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then there, if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. So we see those that desire to be a godly leader have to be approved by God, of course. But we've got a whole list of items that God requires to be a leader. You know, a full list of moral living, a full list of righteous living, you know, faithfulness to family, faithfulness to God, a calmness, a self-controlled demeanor, gentle, content in life, above reproach. They can be questioned, but they're above reproach. Respectable, hospitable. He says this needs to be an experienced person, a person who shows these qualities over a period of time, a length of time, to be sure they're in that proper standing. And to those not only in the body of the church, but those outside the body of church, he treats everyone the same. He treats everyone with respect and with dignity and with care and with love. And I think if you go over this, you'll notice that those are character traits. They're not really talents. They're character traits that God wants you to have. And I think God will take character over talent about any time. If you're called and if you're obedient, God will provide the results. And you aren't required to have a super talent to do it. You're just called to be obedient and do what he asks. And we're just to do our best and with his guidance and leave the results to God. Because anything in his hands is way better than anything in my hands and our hands. So we just have to be obedient and follow instructions, and God will take care of the rest. The results will follow because he's in charge of that. You know, and you say, well, these leaders talk about men, but there's women also, you know, as we get down through there, the women, these character traits are for women as well. Women have to be worthy of respect, temperate, and trustworthy. And you can even go to Proverbs 31:10. Proverbs 31:10 says, a wife of noble character who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. That's how important character is. It's worth more than rubies, more than the fine things we think of. That's how valuable character is and how valuable it is to God. And, you know, this section spoke on characteristics needing for leaders of the church. But I believe all believers, all genuine Christians are called to be leaders. You know, he said we are called his chosen people. That's who he calls us. He calls us his chosen people. He calls us his royal priesthood. He calls us a holy nation. So our character is to match the character of God. So in a way, we're all leaders because we're all spreading God's word. We're all talking to other people. You know, and he gives us his character. You know, when you accept Christ and you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, he gives us his character, the fruit of the Spirit from the Holy Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, he gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a package deal. We get all of those things. And do you hear any special talents there? I think not. Again, you hear God's character and what he desires us to be, and those traits that are more like him. And sometimes we get carried away. 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So we got to be careful. you know, even though we're in God's grace and we're being sanctified daily and we're becoming more and more like Him, we constantly need to seek His wisdom in our living, because pride and arrogance will get us into trouble. You know, thinking we can handle anything is not self-control. It's selfish control and generally out of control. So we can't control it ourselves. We got to remember we need God's wisdom. Our dependence is on Him for all the things we do. And He gets the glory, not us. It's all for Him. And we need to assemble together. Some say, well, I don't need to come, but we do need to assemble together. And He tells us that, and it's for strength for each of us. It's for encouragement for each one of us. It's for building up the body. We need to be accountable to each other for the things we do. As He says, we need to be in the world, but not of the world. We need to be different, and our character makes us different. You know, and I really think we just really had an example of character being considered above talent. And I want to go back to the IU football team. You just saw a football team that I think exemplified many of these character traits and many of these qualities and many of the things God wants us to be and how He desires the Christian relationships and the Christian relationships with God to work. And I think we see that in life out there today. And I think we've just seen that. And you know, first of all, you've got a group of individuals, but they came together as a team. You know, God wants unification. He wants us to be unified. He wants us to be on the same page. He wants us to be part of children of God. He wants us to be together. You know, this was a team of self-described misfits. You know, come different backgrounds, different ratings that people rate them on based on ability. You know, a team not concerned about how they were rated or seen by others. You know, the supposedly experts rate players, you know, from 0 to 5. You'd be 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, a 5-star person. And they do this by observing their talent. And as you noticed, Indiana had a lot of 0, 1, 2-star, 3-star players. And played against a lot of teams these last few games with 4 and 5-star players, which 4 and 5-star players would indicate how much more people thought of their opponents than they did Indiana. You know, a team of misfits, as they described it, sounds like the apostles, doesn't it? The apostles, I think, felt like a team of misfits. They were brought in together to be unified, even though they had a lot of different things in their life, you know, didn't feel they were important, weren't rated very highly. But they were brought together by Christ to form a team. And we see what that led to. Excuse me. You know, and they were brought together, again, like I said, by Jesus there, but IU was brought together by leaders who saw what they could do, not what they couldn't do. Leaders who demanded much, but were fair equally to each one. Leaders who were self-controlled. I'm not talking just about the coaching staff, but the leaders of the team. Leaders who were self-controlled, respectable, able to teach. You saw the coaches teach these people to be a team. And managed people well. I think these coaches managed people well. You know, and they had players who believed in and submitted to leadership and their teaching. And that's what God calls us to do, to submit to His will, to submit to His teaching, to submit to the Word of God. And the players themselves, they wanted to give leadership their best. And that's what we're to do. We're to give Christ our best. You know, players who believed in and submitted to leadership and their teaching. You know, they wanted to give their best. Players who believed in each other. They encouraged each other. They had faith in each other. They built each other up. They were there for each other. you know, a team with character where leadership brought out the best. Brought out the best in others. I think a team that appreciated each other and lifted each other up. A group who celebrated individual successes as a team. You know, when he won the Heisman, he claimed that as a team award. That was an Indiana award, not an individual award. It was an Indiana team award. I think when you saw the Rose Bowl and most valuable player was an offensive lineman, that doesn't happen. But it did this year. And I think you saw the joy of all the other ones around him because they were genuinely happy for their teammate, lifted him up. They celebrated each individual success as if it was their own. Now, they struggled, too. They struggled through some injuries, you know. They persevered through some other struggles. They didn't get a lot of respect. The world didn't give them a lot of respect. Always counting them down. You know, sounds a lot like Christians in a lot of places. Sounds like the apostles. But they didn't give them much respect, always picking them to be the losers most of the year. But they stayed true to the leadership and they followed their lead. And their submission and their obedience to instruction gave them victory after victory after victory. And finally, you know, recognized as perhaps not as talented, even in the final game. Most said they're not as talented as a team. But they worked together. And we're a true team that believed in, trusted, and followed the teachings of the coach. And they ran the race, and they finished with the prize, and they were crowned champions. And that's what we're to do. We're to keep running the race, but we're supposed to be obedient to the coach, to Christ. He's got the game plan set out for us. We just have to follow it. We just have to be obedient and do the things he asks us to do to the best of our ability. And I think we saw that right in front of us. And we saw that, what that can do. I want to finish off with 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 this morning. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 9 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in an increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. You know, our character comes from His divine power. That's where our character comes from. You know, we too can accept God, everything that God has given us. We can take it in and we can use it so that we can participate in that divine nature and godly life that He has planned for us. Because it shows to others. You know, if we add what He has for us to our character, all these things just listed, we too can be a tremendous unified team that follows God. You know, don't be so concerned about talents you have. Be the man or woman that God, with His character, He desires you to be. You know, you'll be able to run the race. You'll be able to run it to the full, as they say. And The big thing is you'll be crowned as a winner at the end. So shine in your godly character and be a champion for God. Be unified. Follow the lead of the leaders. Follow the lead. The leader is Jesus Christ. The church leader is Jesus Christ. It's not the pastor. It's not the deacons. It's not the elders. It's not the trustees. The leader of the church is Jesus Christ. So follow Jesus Christ. Submit to his will. Be a good teammate. Be a good team. Lift each other up. And you'll be amazed at what things happen. You know, God's counting you. You'll have a victory as well. You'll have the victory and receive the crown of glory. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your example in life of biblical teachings that you give us. Help us to be a team. Help us to be good soldiers for you. Help us to be unified in the work you have us to do. And may it all bring you glory and lead others to you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, thank you for joining today. If you were able to, we appreciate it. Prayerfully, we'll meet in person again next week at the regular time. But in the meantime, be safe. If you need help in any way, reach out and we'll do what we can to get that help to you. If you need shoveled out, if you need something from the store, let us know and we'll see if we can get that handled for you. So prayer requests, again, send them to me and I'll add them to the prayer chain. But thank you for joining this morning. Stay in, stay warm, stay safe, but have a wonderful, blessed day.